Good morning. I want to begin with prayer, just like I said yesterday. So, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, glory to you, God, in all things. Amen. The first thing that I'd like to share with you this morning is the last thing that I heard before coming up here, which was words of encouragement. During the morning service, somebody on staff here gave me a card and said, I wanted to give this to you yesterday, but I didn't see you, so I walked out and opened it. It was full of affirmation and encouragement about yesterday. And so many of you came up to me at different points throughout the day and encouraged me when I'm here to try and encourage you. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. It means a lot, and I want to remind you all that affirmation is one of the greatest tools that we have in our spiritual tool belt to encourage one another, and it takes nothing. It's one of the easiest things that we can do. And so often we leave it unsaid. Oh, that person already knows that. Say it again. Maybe they need to hear it again. And so that just those words of encouragement mean the world, and they go so much further than you think they do. So I want to encourage you to encourage others. And on that note, I'd like everybody on staff at GFA to stand up, please. Just so I know who's actual staff. Now, everybody who's here for Set Apart, give them a hand of applause, because it's such a wonderful thing that you're doing here, and it's making a difference in all of these people's lives. It's making a difference in your lives. So thank you all very much. I wanted to also thank you because I'm leaving today. My time here is much shorter than the participants and obviously the staff. And because of that, I think that I've handled my time maybe a little bit differently than some of you. I've savored every moment. It's such a beautiful place here. And I've heard people say, oh, you can really sense the Lord's presence here. And that's true, but the Lord's presence is everywhere. What you're sensing is the Lord's presence in the people. And so that's something that you can remember, that no matter where you are, bring the Lord's presence with you, and it transforms the space, because you become the manifestation of Christ in the world. You're his hands and feet. And so as I've walked around here, I knew that I wanted to talk about time today, about God's time versus our time. But I really didn't know entirely what I was going to speak about. And so last night and this morning, I started to think about my son and his experience with time just yesterday. So yesterday was a seminal moment in young Grace Davidson's life. He lost his first tooth. And was paid handsomely for it by the tooth fairy because it was his first tooth. And he's pretty bright 5-year-old. I think he sensed, like, oh, this is a transition in my life. And he really, he didn't want to lose his tooth because he thought it was going to hurt. And then when it came out, he just wanted to put it back in. I don't want to lose my tooth. And then he got over it. But then last night, before we were going to bed, I think he was feeling it. And I just want to be 4 again. I want my tooth back. He's 5. Think about how often we look at, I just want to go back. Because as a result of the fall, we live in a chronological time sequence. That's not how we were created to live. So there's two views of time. Chronological, chronos, and chirological, kairos. I'll get to that later. But he was experiencing that chronological time. You know, I want to go back. I'm scared to move forward. And at the same time, he was experiencing kairos time. So another way to look at chronological and chirological is chronological time is the time that we count. And chirological time is the time that counts. There's a slight distinction with a big difference, because we can become slaves to time. And it can, you know, even as I'm thinking about the kind of contradiction of, oh, I'm making all my time count, but in doing so, I'm constantly, oh, you know, I only have 2 hours left and, you know, oh, I got to really make this count. But one of the moments when I really was in it was experiencing that Kairos time, God's time, where you lose track of time, was another first for Grace. This was his first time fishing. And for those of you who are parents, seeing your kids find something that they love brings you so much joy. And he's just out there, line after line. And I say, oh, one more. And then after one more, he says, one more. Because he's so in what he's doing. He's so loving it. And so then, I'm not a fisherman. I actually came to enjoy it yesterday because I was doing it with him. And in those moments, I experienced God's time, where I completely lost track of the worries of the world, and I was completely present. And that's the greatest distinction, is chronological time, the time that we experience as a result of the fall, is those seconds, minutes, hours, years. But that's not how we were created to live. We were created without thinking about the past, without thinking about the future, to be completely present, because that's where God is. Because the present is all we have. I'd like to read something to you. It's from Scripture. It changed my life. Jesus said, "A man prepared a great banquet and invited many guests. When the feast was ready, he sent his servant to tell them, 'Come, everything is now ready.' But they all began to make excuses." We make so many excuses. So I'll read that again. "Come, everything is now ready, but they all began to make excuses. One said, 'I've bought a field. I must go see it.' An excuse. Another, 'I've bought oxen. I'm going to try them out.' Another excuse. Another said, and this one resonates for me, 'I just got married. I can't come. Blame it on the wife.' But an excuse nonetheless. The servant returned and reported this. The master of the house became angry and said, 'Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town. Bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' The servant said, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room.' Then the master told him, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in. Go out into the world, so that my house will be full. I tell you, none of those who were invited first will taste my banquet.'" It's convicting, because we all make so many excuses, and we waste so much time. Right before I came up here, I was talking to Bishop Danny, and he talked about Metropolitan of Blessed Memory and how he was always concerned about time. And boy, do I know that. I mean, he would call me, and I joked with several of you already. He had a wonderful plan for my life. And his hair was always on fire. "We have to do this now." And I would always think, "We have more time. Take your time." But as we all know, time waits for no one. And he didn't have more time, and he knew that. And glory to God, one of the lasting legacies is imprinted on your shirt. "Lord, stamp eternity on our eyes." Now, I was thinking about that phrase, and I think a lot of people will hear that phrase and imagine eternity as something in the future. But that's not Kairos time. Eternity is today. It can be a sense of escapism with the perspective on heaven and eternity as something that's going to happen later. Heaven is here and now. Heaven is any time that you are present with Christ and that you are present in his time, because he's outside space and time. Yes, through the incarnation, he entered into our chronological time. But that is the result of the fall, and he came here to bring us into eternity, into his perspective of time, which is so much richer. So I read to you the parable of the banquet and told you that it changed my life. And I'll tell you how. I grew up the son of the Bible answer man, but am shamefully biblically illiterate, which is me being vulnerable with you. And it's something that I've always felt, you know, pressure. I think, I've never thought about this until right this moment, I'm fluent in Spanish. And I've met so many Latinos who have grown up in America and feel this insecurity because they don't speak Spanish. And here I do. So it's never too late to start, and don't put too much pressure on yourself. So I really put a lot of, you know, effort and time into getting into the scriptures. And I was reading the parable of the banquet, and thought, oh, that's pretty good. And not but an hour later, I got a call. And it was from somebody at our church, and they said, David, we'd like you to run for parish council. I don't know if you know what parish council is. I had no idea. It's kind of like the board of the church, elders. And I said, okay, I don't know anything about that, but what does it entail? He said, a little bit of time. And I said, define a little. He said, well, it's not a little, but it's not too much. And so I said, define too much. And he kind of walked me through it, and I thought, man, I don't have time for that. But then I started to think, or am I just making an excuse? You know, I work full time. My wife works full time. You've seen one of my crazies. If you can believe it, his younger brother is crazier. And both of them are a full time job. And on top of that, my wife was diagnosed with cancer 2 to 3 years ago. And so you really felt like, well, I could pull the C card. You know, that'll get me out of this. But I kept going back to the parable of the banquet. Well, yeah, okay, we've got 2 kids under 5, both work full time, going through cancer treatment. Our lives are busy. They're always going to be busy. And there will always be an excuse if you look for it. But you can never get more time. So in faith, I took that leap of faith where there's no safer place. And I ran for parish council, and glory to God, was elected. And it has been the greatest blessing of my life. Yeah, what I thought would rob me of precious time has given me precious talent. It has made me, you know, I talked yesterday about feeling like the least qualified person in the room. It's helped me grow in confidence that I belong in that room. Anybody can belong in that room if you step forward in faith. And all of that talent that's become a treasure to me would have been lost had I fallen prey to the easy way of, well, I'll do that later. I'll run for parish council later because I have more time. I'll make the excuse today. So I'd like to encourage you to, we all make excuses and we all think we have more time. Try not to do that. Say yes. Answer the Lord's call. You have no idea how much he will bless you. Now, I already talked a little bit about Chronos versus Kairos, but I'd like to reemphasize it because I think it's really important, and I wanted to talk to you about time. So Chronos is this, which ironically, right before I walked up here, I wanted to take off my $15 to $20 Casio watch and place it up here. Because yesterday when I was speaking, I had no idea how much time had elapsed. And then I thought, well, that would be ironic to come up here and talk to you about being present and being in the moment and stare at the seconds and watch them go by so slowly. By the way, you can get one of these on Amazon, and I'm not joking. It's one of the oldest, most famous watches. And I thought, do I really need a watch? I have my phone. This saves me. I still look at my phone way too much. We all do, and I'll get to that later. But this saves me from a little bit more screen time every day. So it's $15 to $20 that you can spend for a cheap watch that makes you look like you're in the 80s. Some of you don't even know probably none of you know the 80s, except for staff. Glorious time. I would encourage you to invest in that. Now, Kairos, like I said, is when you're in the zone. So I think some of you young people, you call it flow state. I mean, do you know about this? When you're just kind of in it. That's God's time, when you lose complete track of time. And that is also on your shirt. I love those shirts that you guys have, the set-apart shirts with all the quotes, and most importantly, the wardrobe. I know that that was so important to the Metropolitan of Blessed Memory. He said, we're wretched flatlanders. We live in this kind of world of latent materialism, even if we're Christians. We subscribe to that everything is just matter in motion and, you know, scientifically provable. We say that we believe in miracles and enchantment and then live as though we don't. And if you're at all familiar with the Chronicles of Narnia, where that wardrobe comes from, when the children enter into the wardrobe, they enter into eternity, into God's presence. And when they come out of it, no time has passed. And I don't think that's a mistake. It's because chronological versus chirological. We live in a fallen state where seconds, minutes, hours, God's time is outside of that. And I think it's interesting because most of us would say that the Chronicles of Narnia is fantasy. But the early church fathers refer to thinking about the future or the past too much as fantasy. Because the only reality is this moment. They even go so far, the church fathers can be heavy sometimes, as to say that it's spiritually dangerous to live anywhere but the present moment. Now, you have to cash that out a little bit. It's not saying that you don't plan for the future, prepare for the future, and that you don't remember the past, or a healthy nostalgia. You know, I see pictures of my children come up on our little Google Home, and man, I miss those moments, and it is a constant reminder to be present because they slip through your fingers like sand. And it's just every moment is precious. Another phrase that just comes to mind, I wasn't planning to say it, but my grandfather was dying of fibrosis of the lung. And my dad asked him, you know, Dad, don't you just want to go home and be with the Lord? And his response was, Hank, every moment is precious. And he savored every moment. Before he died, he called every one of his grandchildren and children and encouraged them. He prayed with us and told us to never leave the Lord because the Lord will never leave us. And I was a very young child, and I will never forget that. And I thank God that the Lord kept him, because every moment is precious. So I'd encourage you, stay in the moment. Go into the wardrobe, because so much of the world that we live in, that is the fantasy. Now, I want to ask you a question. What if this was your final year on earth? How would you live? What would change? Because we all think, well, I'll do that tomorrow or next week. Or I'll learn that thing next year when I have more time. That is not promised. So I want to encourage all of you, whether you're young or old, those of us who are a little older are more cognizant of the passing of time, and you start doing math and go, well, by world averages, I'm halfway there at least. If I'm lucky, I might sign up for that some days. But think about that, and I'll remind you at the end. What would you do if this was your final year on earth? What would you do differently? We waste so much time. Now, on that same note, think about it on the subject of banquets and tables. Think about a time when you were sitting with people that you love, whether it's friends or family, and you got to the end of the evening, and I can't believe it's 11 o'clock. Time just flew by. Why did that happen? Was it because you were looking down at your phone? Or was it because you were completely present with the people who were in your presence? We especially, and I'm not going to come down on you guys too hard, because if you saw my screen time, it is shameful. We are all slaves to our technology and just looking down all of the time, when we really need to be focused on what's right before you. So I want to ask you three questions. And I'm going to give you a little bit of time to think about these, because these are important questions. What is the most important moment in your life? What is the most important moment in your life? Who is the most important person in your life? Who is the most important person in your life? And the third question is, what is the most important thing you have done? What's the most important thing you've done? Think about those questions for a couple of seconds. I won't make you do it for minutes. I have answers. I told you that I wasn't here's the answer man, but I do have answers to those questions. So what is the most important moment in your life right now? Who is the most important person in your life? The person right beside you, the person in front of you, the people in this room that you're surrounded by are the most important people in your life. And what is the most important thing you've done? What you're doing right now. That seems like a little bit of a gotcha question, but the focal point is to be present. It's the only place that you can be. So, what you are doing is the most important moment, and who you're with is the most important person. And what you're doing is the most important thing from moment to moment in your life. So, I'll end where I began, with the words that were so important the Metropolitan of Blessed Memory. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Let us pray, Lord, to stamp eternity on our eyes so we live every moment with your will and purpose in mind. Help us to live not in the fantasy of the past and the future, but in the reality of your presence right here, right now. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Thank you guys for your time. I really appreciate it.